Yes, he is.
All right, here we go. And a one, and a two. And welcome to the Tales from the Long Box podcast. This is episode, oh, got that wrong in my notes, 33.
33!
DC New 52, a six-month report card, part two. Well, that's a mouthful. Anyway, I am Chris Mosby.
I'm Caleb Gerard.
And I'm Murray Fox.
Ah, yes, he's back from his mission in deep space.
Back from join us.
Today, as we discussed earlier, last episode, we were talking about the first 6 months of the new DC 52 books, what we think of them, ones we've read, it's worth buying to trade, that kind of thing. So we decided, I believe, we're going to talk about the Superman family of titles first.
And just a real quick recap.
Oh, yes. Let's
A quick recap in that I think it was determined that Chris is the only one of us who's actually reading the Green Lantern titles, right? Murray, you're not reading any four of the Green Lantern titles, right?
No, I am not.
Okay, but I am intrigued by Green Lantern Core, so I will be, as soon as I find a good sale on those, I will back issue that that series. And on the Justice League titles, I think, Murray, you're only reading Justice League, is that right?
Justice League, like, yeah, I'm not doing Dark. I will probably look in on International again.
Mm-hmm. What about Wonder Woman? Are you not, did you drop?
No, I've got Wonder Woman, I've got Flash, okay. I've got Aquaman.
I heard number 7 was really good, but I haven't read it yet.
I haven't read it.
Yeah, I liked it.
There's some kind of, like Darren Noel keeps, or Noel, excuse me, Noel, jeez. He keeps posting stuff on Facebook about it, so I'm kind of wondering what the big deal is. Non-spoilery this time.
Yeah, non-spoilery. It's a different take on the Amazons, I think, that's probably got people all
up in a tizzy,
up in arms. But
I believe his quote was, it was the equivalent of South Carolina seceding the Union, is how he put it in his Facebook post, if I'm not mistaken. That's what kind of got my attention, so I'm looking forward to reading that.
Yeah, it's in keeping with Azzarello's take on everything. Like it's a darker take for sure, but
which I'm enjoying.
And ironically, parts of South Carolina are now parts of North Carolina, according to the Geological Survey.
Wow. I'm sure Obama will get blamed for that too.
Or credit.
Yeah, depending on which side of the fence. But we won't get into politics because anyway, might turn a bunch of people off.
You left wing.
And hopefully people from iTunes are still here. We had a little issue with the feed. I decided to lock down some security on the website, and apparently it killed the iTunes feed, so which was evidenced in a large decrease of downloads for this month, I noticed. We'll have to see after if it picks back up. So I'm not sure how I'll fix that, but yeah. Well,
yeah, re-upping seems to solve the issue.
Yeah, I'm glad you did that, because I don't use iTunes. When I had an iPhone, I just got where I hated it. And even though I got an iPad from work, I don't have it. I don't even think I have it installed on any computer I have. I just don't like it. So I was going to check that out and didn't. But, yeah, I reversed all that draconian file permissions, and things seem to be working quite swimmingly now. So,
yay.
Sorry about that. Oh, and we had a letter, too.
I want to – can we save that?
Yeah, that's fine. No, I don't know.
Get through month 6 in a reasonable length of time.
Okay, that's cool.
Our standards.
Yes, yes. All right, then. Moving along, then.
So the Superman family of books. There are only four, so we should be able to power through these in a good 40 or 50 hours. Minutes. So the Granddaddy book, Action Comics by Grant Morrison with semi-regular pencils by Rag Morales. Enjoying. I'm not over the top thrilled with the book, but I'm actually enjoying this book.
Well, I personally love it.
Okay.
I'm hit and miss with Morrison, as we've well talked about several times. Let's see. Yeah, I'm not sure who's gonna be regular artist on that. I know the number nine's listed. They have Gene Ha and others, but my favorite part was the retelling of the origin, five and six. We've seen it hundreds of times, but they did it in such a way. It brought a lot of the cool Silvery Age stuff, but not being too corny at the same time. Legion's back in there, well ensconced, like it should be.
Sort of.
Sort of, yeah. I remember, because I finally listened to the Legion podcast where they talk about those two issues as I had the comic in front of me, and I missed a few things here and there. But yeah, I'm loving the book. I love his take on it so far. Now that they're going to shift into the future, or the present, I should say, coming soon, that should be interesting. And number nine talks about parallel Earths, including President Superman. But anyway.
Number nine?
Yeah. a little future vision there. But yeah, I'm really enjoying it. So.
I kind of cooled off on it. I like the first couple of issues. And I kind of liked seeing Superman back, like, in his early days. I wish they had continued that a little more. I stuck with it through the Legion appearance because I wanted to see how they were going to tie that all in. But now that the Legion is done, I think I'm probably done with the book, too.
Okay.
Yeah, it's... Morrison is doing a straightforward story, but he's kind of... I don't know if it's because... Rags Morales is having trouble keeping up with the monthly schedule, or if they had always planned to do all these. It seems like the stories aren't connected, or they're kind of jumping around in their storytelling, and it's.
What you mean plugging in two issues from a completely unrelated storyline right in the middle of another storyline? How could you possibly construe that as jumping around?
Yeah.
Well, I admit that was kind of jarring, but I think it kind of fit a little bit because, actually, no, it didn't. They could have done it after. I'll admit it. They could have done it after. But go ahead.
Yeah, well, I guess they could have. I just wonder if they did it then because that's the story Morrison wants to tell. Mm-hmm. In which case, it'll probably all make sense at some point. Or if they did it that way because they need to keep a monthly schedule and this is the only way to do it, in which case, maybe you need to find another, I don't know, penciler or something.
I haven't read anything about that one. It could, in just learning from my gross misinterpretation of what was going on with the relaunch of Barry Allen Flash with Johns and Francis Manapal, it could possibly be the writer. We are talking about Morrison here, you know. But
it doesn't seem like he's too overextended, though. Like he's,
yeah, I know.
He's got action, and I guess he's got stuff coming out elsewhere, too. But
yeah, but not as much. You're right. He's actually, I think, only two books, really. Batman Inc. coming out.
When I find the backup story more intriguing than the primary story, I'm kind of with Murray. I'm going to continue with the book for now, but I am of the mind that I am cooling on the primary story. Though, to Morrison's credit, there's always a bigger picture. I may not be a huge fan of his anymore, yeah. But when it comes, you know, we'll be a year in and we'll go, oh my God, he did have a point for this break in the story that he did with the Brainiac story.
Yeah.
But I'm, again, more intrigued with the Ma and Pa Kent story was awesome. The John's Iron stuff was really cool.
Yeah, that was good.
Yeah, the backup stories have been great.
Mm-hmm. Who's that writer? I'm blanking on his name.
Shally Fish or Fish.
Yeah, Fish.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah. They got more from that one in... Number nine, it looks like.
I hope that guy gets more exposure, because those stories were really good. Or maybe keep him on shorts. Maybe that's the key to someone like him is don't overexpose him. But
looking at it, really, the main reason I like it is because, you know, out of all the characters that DC's got, Superman needed the most "quote unquote" fixing in my eyes, and I think they've done a good job with it. Now, once they go to the present on this title, that will determine whether I'm really interested in the backstory as far as Superman goes. Like, you know, where did the costume come from? You know, all that other stuff. Why was the cape so important? That's why I was still in there.
And now we know where the costume came from.
Yeah. And I like the way they did that. Once he goes to, you know, modern, quote unquote, modern day stories, a lot of air quotes today. I'm not sure. We'll have to see. It's like I said, I'm always hit and miss with him. So we'll see. Final Crisis. Yeah. And then you got things like, I'm trying to think, something he's written that I just absolutely adored.
Well, Doom Patrol, right?
Never read that, so.
Oh, okay.
Actually, I can't think of anything that he's read right off the top of the bat then that I absolutely loved, but.
Iron Monroe is an awesome, if you get a chance to pick up that mini by him, it's really cool. Some of his Batman stuff has clicked very well with me.
Most of the Batman stuff has been good. Yeah, the R.I.P. story was a little strange, but of course it was mixed up with Final Crisis. So anyway,
so moving on from this to a title that I think we can all agree has been lackluster, Superman.
Yeah, I've still enjoyed it. And who's the – yeah, Giffen and Dan Jurgens are going to take over the writing of it here coming soon. I don't remember exactly when.
Coming soon to a comic book near you.
I think Jurgens is going to do some of the art. That's what they got, art by number 9, Jurgens and Jesus Moreno.
Well, then I'm definitely not revisiting. I'm not a Jurgens fan. So.
I like his art a little bit more than his writing. I think it depends on what character he's doing, but we'll have to see with that how that continues. I've been liking that. I'm impressed. A fan of Perez's art, but his writing in the first bit was a little thick. But you know, it's I was a little disappointed on it, but not enough to drop it right now. Let's put it that way.
Have they moved away from the, or have they finished up that whole Kryptonian Elementals story?
Yeah, and it actually ties into the Action Comics story.
All right.
The past story. Because the things that happened, that have been happening related to his visit to the Collector's ship. Now, I don't know if they announced, I don't remember if they caught it in the Legion. Oh, by the way, we're spoilerific in this podcast.
Yeah. Oh, geez,
if you haven't figured out already. that first Fortress of Solitude they show in that, in the origin, they kind of – that's the Collector's ship. I don't know if you caught that. The one with the tentacles and stuff, they show it, and he's in there. And this point in my career, you know, this was my Fortress of Solitude, yada, yada, yada. Well, and then the ship's in there. And if you look at it, and you look at the Collector's ship, that's what it is. Of course, we haven't fought the Collector yet. That hasn't come out. That's in the next issue, number 8. But it's the Collector's ship. That was his first Fortress of Solitude. I don't know if anybody caught that or not.
Go ahead, Marie. I'm sorry.
Yeah, no, I was just saying I don't think I did. But I don't think I read number 7 either, so...
Yeah. Yeah, and they just show a little bits and pieces of it in the Action Comics thing, but it was enough because it looks like a squid, and, you know, so there you go.
Does it play clarinet?
I don't know. Anyway.
Now, in Superman, have they given a bit of a focus to any of the supporting cast? Like, in Action, we got a little tiny bit of Lois and Jimmy.
Mm-hmm.
But not a ton. So are they showing up in Superman at all?
They are showing up in Superman, yeah. But right, the main focus has been what's been going on with him, because he was completely mind controlled by this. Well, actually, he wasn't really mind controlled. Anyway,
What about Luther? Luther has played a pretty big, a prominent supporting role in Action. Has he been more prominent in the present?
No, not really. He hasn't been in it at all. It's all been his storyline, which just ended with his fight with Supergirl.
Very interesting that Luther has kind of fallen off the presence.
Well, I seem to remember things being said that at that point in time, everybody knows Luther's a bad guy.
Oh, good. Okay.
So it's kind of like... It's kind of like they've done in the Superman book in my eyes, because you know they destroyed the Daily Planet, you know, like very first issue, to kind of turn that and like she's turned into the head of the TV stuff, you know, and it's all owned by the same guy. It's kind of like gives me that feel as like that comic that they did right before the crisis to be the last of the pre-crisis Superman, you know, it's like this takes up after, you know, this is like farther in the future, you know, because everybody's moved forward almost, you know what I'm saying?
Sure.
That's kind of what I feel, you know, it's like Clark's still working at the Daily Planet, but you know, this has moved on and everybody's a little step forward in their careers and stuff. The backstory of, you know, the secret identity stuff has moved forward, but the superhero stuff has moved back. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Okay.
So there's more. So does that answer your question, Murray?
I think so.
I think, you know, once they get now that they're past that arc, I think they'll get more into the other characters.
I think they're going to need to. I think like the
six-issue
arc was probably too long.
Yeah. And if they're smart, that's what they'll do, is they'll make Action Comics more about Superman, and maybe this actual Superman title more about the, you know, the cast of characters with Clark. So
about Metropolis.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because, and again, spoilers, Ma and Pa Kent are now dead again.
Yes. Which, it's like some of the stuff they have done, to me, it seems like they've reset things that happened after the crisis. You know, because they brought their parents back, you know, and then at one point, not too long ago, maybe 2 or 3 years ago, they had Pa Kent die from a heart attack, and, you know, and he wore that black, the symbol with the black background instead of yellow for a while. And, I mean, all that was in – actually, that was a Brainiac story, as a matter of fact, when that happened.
Yes, it was.
Very good one, by the way. Anyway.
Drinking beer.
Yeah.
Kangaroo beer.
Yeah, that was ridiculous.
Sorry.
Oh, my God. Beer. Superman can't drink beer. Think of the children.
So speaking of children, to move along, are you done?
Yeah, I'm done. I'm just kind of rambling.
All right. Supergirl, mm-hmm. Michael Green, Mike Johnson writing it with the art. I think it's still by Mahmoud Asrar, but since I'm not reading it, I will have to defer to people actually reading the book.
Let's see. Yes. Supergirl number 9 still has Mahmoud Asrar on it, so yeah.
Yeah, I don't think he's left. I think he's hit every issue and stuff. He's good. One of those quick ones.
Yes. The one that actually wants to work instead of making art money on the side. The article I posted on our Facebook page this morning. Very interesting article.
I think it's possible to do both, but
Well, you know.
So are you still reading Supergirl?
No, I'm not. I didn't love the first issue. No, it's a book I should probably look back in on because I'm hearing good reviews about it. Like the
people so
reading it are liking it. So I wasn't looking in on it because to me it seemed like more of the same. Like I'd seen the Supergirl origin, I'd seen the Stranger in a Strange Land type thing done before, and I didn't really feel like checking it out again. But I keep hearing some really good stuff, so I think I'm going to have to look in on it.
Yeah, I agree with you, and I think part of it for me was you read that first issue, and it's like they've tried to do Supergirl so many times, and they redid it again, and then she was a protoplasm, and then, oh, no, wait, she's from Krypton again, and then it's like, you know, oh, the Earth Fallen Angel they did back there for a while, and I think, and I read that, and it's like, oh, we're starting all over again, and that just turned me off, so I might have to check it out, too.
Yeah, it wouldn't have been a big deal for them to start over again if the previous run of Supergirl hadn't been so well-received, like Spencer... Yeah.
It was good.
Sterling Gates and Jamal Eichel did a great run, and they kind of had a take on Supergirl that was working. I mean, it was hobbled a little bit by crossovers and stuff, but it seemed like it was working. So to kind of go back to the drawing board again after you had something that was working seemed counterproductive. But if they're making it work, that's great.
Yeah.
And the guys working on it, they. At least the Michael Green, one of the co-writers on it, he has he's done a lot of the teenage TV stuff. He did Smallville, Everwood, something else, one of those teenage angst shows that was out there. But he also worked on the Green Lantern movie, so we won't hold that against him too much. But I'm kidding. I liked it. I'm kidding. But that is his, at least his wheelhouse is the teenagers. Dealing with teenage problems
and
played by adults.
Didn't one of our guests and Facebookers, Brian Nixon, talk a good – say that was really good?
Likes it a lot.
Okay. So, you know, Facebookers and other people, hey, you know, if you like that book, send us an email. Podcast at talesfromlockbox.com or Facebook page. Shove that in there. Let us know, you know, and school us on it. So anyway, a little segue.
The thing I don't like is her new costume. It looks unbalanced to me. Like it's
all... What's the deal with the knees showing? I mean, seriously.
You know what? I don't even mind that. It's just she looks. The top half of her looks super covered up, and dark colored, and then you get to her lower half, and there's like nothing there.
Yeah, I know.
Boots. I don't know. Like it to me.
I think. Yeah.
Like a gymnast outfit. It's like a gymnast outfit, right?
Yeah, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, not that I don't like it, you know, looking at women in skimpy clothing, but in this day and age, do all the female characters have to be showing all that skin? You know what I'm saying? I mean, is it really necessary to design them that way? Because, I mean, look at, like, Black Widow. That's a good costume. Doesn't show that much. I mean, it's still, you know, I don't know. It's just me.
Well, not to digress too much, but it almost seems like Marvel does a better job of not overexposing their female characters compared to DC. Yeah, I mean, you can a lot of the Avengers, we got Spider-Woman, we got Black Widow, we've got Mockingbird. Sue Storm, or Richards, excuse me, whatever the hell her name is, and so on and so forth. It almost seems like they overdress them.
And I wish they had left Wonder Woman with pants. I know I've brought this up before, but I thought it was good. It was a good change, but then they're listening to fans maybe too much. So.
Oh, I don't know. I thought those pants were gross. Blah.
Well, I don't know, but it seemed like they were on the change for change's sake, you know, there for a while. But it, you know, whatever.
Yeah, let's make them all naked. Superboy, Scott Lobdell and Silva on the art. My favorite of the Superman family of books, and completely out of the Superman family from where from my point of view, it feels.
Oh yeah, that's in the teen genre.
Yeah, other than that issue that had Supergirl in it, there's been almost zero Super in this book beyond his S on his chest.
Mm-hmm.
I'm loving this book actually compared to the rest of this family.
Yeah, I really like it too. I look forward to reading it every month when it comes out. I like how he's tying all that is the teen thing that he's got with Nowhere.
Yep.
Which I think I work there right now, but I'm not sure. Anyway, bad joke. But yeah, I like how that's all tying in together, and he does a real good job of it. And even though, okay, we're starting from scratch again, I like the way they're doing it. I never did like the way the character was before when it first came out, the Superboy character. Now, of course, I finally got to the point where I actually liked the Superboy character, and then they did a reboot, which, you know, makes perfect sense. But, you know, I'm just one reader. But, you know, I was one of the – because I was one of the ones that in Infinite Crisis was actually cheering for the clone Superboy to get his ass kicked when the Superboy Prime was around. So, you know, then I felt bad about it after. But anyway, loving that book. Loving that book.
Scott Lobdell is really – I mean, he's in – he writes for in three of the different families of books here, which is kind of cool. But I really – no, four of them. Excuse me. Pardon me. He actually writes in four of the different families.
Now they're just getting that new one coming out.
And I really like how this book ties in without actually feeling like I have to pick up Teen Titans or I have to pick up Legion Lost. So while I'm picking up both of those books, there's little threads, little Easter eggs, if you will, from each of the other books.
Oh, yeah.
Hell, he even had Tom DeFalco come in and co-write the latest issue of Superboy, which was really neat. Yeah. Tom DeFalco, the new writer on Legion Lost, Tom DeFalco.
And I believe it was I that said that they made that character more like the Young Justice cartoon, because that was pretty well received.
It's
what it seems like to me. So, anyway.
And I'm way behind on those cartoons. But
great cartoons.
So, Murray.
Yeah, I just, you know what? I sat down last weekend and I read them all at a friend's place, and they were good. They all hung together really. I think I read the first six. I don't know if I read seven or not. Mm-hmm. Is seven out? I don't know.
No. It's not? Okay, never mind. I'm behind on my reading.
Yeah, the first six. And you know what? They hung together really well. And you're right. You don't need to be reading Teen Titans to get the little like, there's enough in the story to know that you can get that he went and fought with the Teen Titans, and you see a little snippet of the battle, but it's
Yeah,
they're handling that sort of crossover that's not a crossover really well. Like, they give you what you need.
That's exactly what they're doing better than Marvel is.
Yeah, they give you what you need, and then they get back to telling the Superboy story.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas in Teen Titans, they're focused more on the battle, and they're focused more on the I was going to say the Nowhere organization, but
mm-hmm.
but from a different point of view than what they're looking at in the Superboy book. So it's working out. And the artwork is awesome. I'm loving.
Yeah, it is good art.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see if they can keep that separation when the culling starts, especially since it starts in a Titans annual. But it will be. I think this book benefits, especially given its place within the Superman family as well as the Young Justice book of family. It benefits from having a writer, the same writer. Pardon me, mm-hmm. I lost my train of thought there for a second, but it benefits greatly from that. I think it's a super super well done book. Of the Superman family titles, given there's only four, mm-hmm. it is definitely the top of my pile of those.
And I have to say that one, you know, until maybe something else comes to mind, but it seems like to me that's the one I was most pleasantly surprised with.
Oh, yeah.
Of all the new ones. It was a lot a lot better than I thought it was going to be.
So. Yep.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think they're going to use the culling to... I think they're going to be able to use it well. Like, I think they'll use it in one way in Superboy. We'll see it used a different way in Teen Titans. I'm curious to see how they're going to pull Legion Lost into the culling. That seems like the
yeah,
the most...
It'll be the uniforms.
But, yeah, I see that. Yeah,
I think it'll be good. Like, we'll see some different storylines springing out of it, probably from both books.
Mm-hmm. You're right, though, about Legion Lost, because I don't think there's been any direct reference to Nowhere, which seems to be the tie-in.
Yeah, at least not yet. When the culling starts.
Or maybe it's New York, because New York seems to be getting a lot of focus in the teen books. I think Blue Beetle's going to end up in New York.
Yeah, that's right. The last one Yeah.
He's hanging out there now.
And so there you go. I mean, for goodness sake, I mean, I think they're gonna have more heroes in New York than Marvel does.
Yeah, they do have all similar. I'm looking at the cover of Legion Lost number 9 with the culling. Continues from Superboy number 9, and they all have similar. I think we saw a cover previously that was like that, where they have the same thing and the same costume look. So that should be interesting.
So speaking of Young Justice, and I'm going to do these out of order. We will.
That's fine.
Let's start with the soon to be late lamented Hawk and Dove.
Yeah.
Bueller, any comments?
The Young group? Really?
Yeah, it is.
They were considered part of... Wow, okay.
Hawk and Dove. Isn't that... Yeah, that is going to be canceled. I'd forgotten. I was thinking of another one that Mr. Liefeld will be involved with.
The soon-to-be-canceled Hawkman? No, I'm sorry.
Well, I mean, I posted that, his article where... Bleeding Cool collected a few of his tweets about that, and he's basically begging fans, all those ones that he's on, begging them to please buy this book, you know, because the sales are so low. And
good for him.
Captain Atom is like, you know, he didn't involve in that, but they commented Captain Atom's like 156th on the list or something like that as far as sales goes, and those other ones are not that much better. And so yeah, he's just like, please buy these books. I deserve a chance. It's kind of what it was like. So
I take it from lack of comment on Hawk and Dove from either one of you that you couldn't care less.
No, I'm not saddened by that at all.
I am in a it's very very little bit in that I really like the characters.
I'm sad about that.
But the historically, they've always been intriguing characters. And actually, one of my favorite episodes of Justice League Unlimited was the Hawk and Dove episode.
Yeah.
With the kids from – or those two guys from Wonder Years doing the voices.
Oh, that's right. I remember hearing about – yeah, that was a good episode.
Fred Sapp and whatever. But
I think we've already seen in solicits that those characters like that, they're not going to go away. Because, I mean, it's already pretty much written in stone – from what I've seen in Teen Titans, that Static Shock is going to end up being a character.
Yeah.
In there. I mean, I don't know why. Well, they might be too old to be in the Teen Titans, but I'm sure they'll show up somewhere. You got OMAC showing up in Justice League International coming up here pretty soon.
We'll get to OMAC eventually here.
Yeah. Okay. Anyway.
So Static Shock also going the way of the dinosaur for the second or third time, I think, in its – publishing history.
That one started out kind of fun, and then, you know, there's a lot of controversy about the writer and the artist trying to write, and the editor this and that, and we won't get into that, but the book ended up being really bad, and I even stopped reading it after like 6, I think.
Yeah, it sounds like there was just a bad mix of creative people on that book that...
Uh-huh.
That cooked it before it was even. It sounds like it didn't have a fighting chance at all.
Well, it's like a lot like what I believe we've talked about in the past. Some of these books, like the publishers came up and said, we want a Static Shock book.
Yep.
And here, editor, you go make it happen. Or, you know, they go went and grabbed people and make it happen. And everybody had a different idea, and none of them were the same. And nobody wanted to budge either from the sound of it. But
well, they had to do a Milestone book. I mean, that was a given. I mean, they've got all the Wildstorm books going on here. They've got, obviously, the DCU books going on and the Charlton characters. They had to do a Milestone book. And this was the obvious character choice because it was a very popular cartoon.
Mm-hmm.
He has a very vocal cult fan base. Mm-hmm. And so they said, okay, we got to do Milestones, Static Shock. But you're right. It was, we have to do one, make it happen, but we give you no leeway on it whatsoever.
Yeah, it didn't sound like they had much leeway from upstairs either. You're right.
And you're a McDaniel fan, right? You're a Scott McDaniel.
I love his art. I'll put it that way. I mean, his blog post about what Rosen said pretty much – it's like he was trying to deny what he said, but that's not what happened. When you get done reading it, it's like, well, okay, so pretty much everything he said was true then. But yeah, I've always liked his art. I became a fan of his during when him and Dixon were on Nightwing. And then he got on Batman and others. And but yeah, you know, as far as the writing goes, if he did – you know, if all things were true from the two perspectives, or three, then not a fan of his writing. Let's put it that way. And he is a nice guy, but, you know, still.
Well, this probably wasn't the book to showcase his best writing either. Like, it sounds like he had a ton of ideas, but it doesn't sound like he had a ton of time to work those ideas into something super strong. Given that there was a whole lot of conflict and stuff going on behind the scenes. So who knows? Like he may be able to take those ideas and work with another writer and mm-hmm. another book down the line, he'll come up with something that's a little more workable. I wonder if they would have been better off holding off on the milestone imprint and leaving it for the second wave, but mm-hmm. I can see why they wanted to get it in the first wave with all of the publicity and all of the...
Well, yeah, and I think from the beginning they're trying to do a shotgun method as far as what was going to sell.
Yep, for sure.
And some of the pellets hit and some of the pellets didn't.
Yeah,
for lack of a better term, so...
And hopefully this doesn't end Rosam's involvement with the Milestone books,
yeah.
Our characters, because his, obviously, you know, we've said it before, we will say it as long as it is possible to say it. His zombie was awesome.
Mm-hmm.
And he writes really good voices, and he writes really good, interesting takes on these characters. And I think if they're going to hand off the reins of Milestone Universe to anybody, he's as good a choice as any. But probably better than most, even.
Yep, I have to agree.
So, mentioned it a couple times here. Teen Titans, written by Scott Lobdell, again having his finger in a different part of the DC Universe. Art by Brett Booth. Probably my favorite team book.
Oh yeah, that's
he
good.
Is putting out right now.
Yeah, I have to admit, the way they're doing it. Which they've – it's like, okay, Teen Titans never existed before. Now it has. They kind of changed that in certain – depends on which comic you read, whether the Teen Titans ever existed before. Because they kind of – in the Red Hood book, they kind of like showed scenes of – well, anyway, we'll get to that. But that kind of bugged me a little bit, but I like what they're doing with this. It's a new take on the characters. Wasn't 100% – happy with how they handled Tim Drake. I thought, you know, they toned down him a lot. We'll see, because he's going to be in one of the Night of Owl crossovers in The Dark Knight, Batman The Dark Knight. But otherwise, I really like it. It's a real good book. I like the way Lovedell's doing all that stuff, and art's great. It's great stuff. I love the characters.
I'm so jazzed to see new takes on Wonder Girl, Kid Flash, Robin, Red Robin, whatever the heck. It's almost like Scott Lobdell is getting an opportunity to build these characters from the ground up, using established history. Oh, my comic geek daughter is going off to church.
Okay.
I'll be right back. Hold on.
All right. So, Murray, what do you think?
You know what? I like it. I wasn't planning on picking it up at all. Like the characters that they've got as Teen Titans never ever really connected with me. But I mean, I've got all six issues and I've read them and I've enjoyed them. And and like Caleb was saying, I like that it's being built from the ground up. Like, you get the sense that this is actually a beginning. We're seeing the start of a Teen Titans. And I know they've said that there might have been earlier versions. I'm thinking eventually it's going to be like, this is the first Teen Titans. And if there were other characters that kind of hung out together, it was probably never official. And
yeah, I have a feeling that might be the way they do it. I don't know. We'll see.
Yeah, I think DC was a little hesitant to write out all those new Teen Titans stories. But
you also got the whole 5 years thing.
Yeah.
The entire universe has happened in five, six-year time period. I mean, you throw in Batman because, he was active for a year.
Right.
So they have been keeping Donna Troy and Wally West and Garth off page.
Yeah, they have.
Yeah, I don't think we're going to see those guys back.
Wally, no, I don't think we will either.
I think, the only one we've really seen of the original Titans has been Roy Harper and Dick Grayson.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And that's because both of them were able to carve out a new, a separate identity, separate from their, I guess Donna did too, to a point, but her origin was tied so tightly to Wonder Woman that, I don't know.
Well, it was so muddled anyway. What the hell were they going to do with it? I mean,
And Wally West. I mean, you can't have Wally West without Barry Allen, and they're just reestablishing Barry Allen as the Flash. So,
yeah. I think they're stuck in that they've got some popular characters, but they don't have a place for them in this new DCU anymore because they've got their established characters who are younger than they ever were, and you've got new sidekicks that have come up that are just as popular as the old ones, and so if you're given a choice between a Wally Kid Flash or an Impulse Kid Flash, I guess you go with Bart, and I guess you go with that blonde Wonder Girl, and they're the next team that people have kind of grown up with.
Yep.
Forget about, you have to set aside the fact that the old guys have grown up with a different set of younger kids, because we have, and that's fine. We'll just – I would almost rather have them left off the canvas than try to find a way to shoehorn them into the story at this point.
Yeah, that's a good point. That is a good point.
Yeah, and there will be a third wave, and there will be a fourth wave. And
there's several titles, which we'll get to as we talk about them, that – are obviously soon to join the other ones that were canceled. So,
well, let's talk about one of those from my opinion, which would be Blue Beetle by Tony Bedard and Inguara. I not following the numbers, but this book does not appear on a ton of radars. So that gives me the impression that perhaps it is not long for this world. But I don't read it, so I couldn't say quality wise whether it's good.
I'm still reading Blue Beetle. I've talked about this on Facebook before. It's one of those ones, or I might have talked in a podcast. It's like, I read it, I like it when I read it, but then I read something else and it's gone. The next issue comes out and I'm like, okay, well, not all the time, but it's like, okay, what the hell happened? And I have to go dig up the issue before and then reread it and then read the next issue. And it's not horrible, but it's not awesome either. you know, it's just average, which disappoints me because I'm such a fan of the stuff that Bedard does, but both of the books he's on I'm kind of disappointed in. Green Lantern New Guardians is too. It's not, and it might just be because they've got so much control over it. So anyway, continue.
I'm enjoying the Blue Beetle book. I like it a lot. I think its numbers are low, but I think it might be able to stick around just because he seems to be a popular version of the character. He's on, you know, Batman Brave and the Bold quite a bit, and
yeah,
to work him up into a TV show at some point. So I think that popularity might carry him a little bit,
go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, I think it's low. I think it's low on the charts, but I'm enjoying it. I don't know that I enjoy it as much as I enjoyed the original original Blue Beetle run, but I do like it. I like it a lot.
And when you say the original one, you mean the one that was just pre-reboot, the Jaime version, right?
Right, yeah. Infinite Crisis version.
Yes, I enjoyed that run. And this run, you know, like it's you can see what they're going for. They're going for like that hard luck hero. They want like a DC Spider-Man.
Another one.
Tries hard, and everything blows up in his face. And just when something is going well, boom, he gets kicked in the shins and he's knocked down again. Like they're totally going for that Peter Parker vibe, and it works. Like I think it's a good. It's a good solid hero book, and I like the Iguara. He does good work.
Yeah, I'm not sure. I'm looking at the solicit for number 9. They have Marcio Takara in there, so I don't know if that's a permanent or I haven't heard anything about that, but it looks like Mr. Bedard will be doing a crossover between the two books he's writing and have the Blue Beetle face off against Kyle Rayner. And then in the Green Lantern New Guardians number 9, it will continue that crossover. So,
and there's a history there. I mean, that's not a he's not just pulling that out of the ether. There is actually a Green Lantern Blue Beetle or the Scarab history.
Yeah. On, so. Yeah, that's why the idea is good. I don't know. It's just it hasn't stuck a chord with me. And I have to admit, I never did read any of that other. I read maybe the first 3 or 4 issues, and it just didn't interest me for whatever reason. And but I'm trying it again, and I like the take on it. It's a little bit rougher, a little bit darker, maybe. It's an okay book, anyway.
So does the book take place down in Texas like the original series did, or is it? I noticed that
it's New Mexico,
New Mexico, whatever. I mean, Southwest.
Yeah.
Let me just generalize the Southwest.
All right.
Issue 6 it did, and then he kind of moved. He's moved to New York to protect his family.
But yes. A lot of bad stuff went down.
As to how long he'll stay, we'll see. But at the moment, he's New York based.
And that gives them an opportunity to easily cross him over with other characters.
Yep.
If they need sales boosts.
Yeah, and the aliens, the Reach looks like they're going to have more prominent. I don't remember where I saw it, but in one of the Green Lantern books, they're going to show up. And it might be that crossover number 9, so Green Lantern New Guardians number 9. So.
Oh, finally, the sequel to Invasion. Thank God.
It seems like they attack Oa, I think, is what I was looking at, but... We'll have to see. Anyway, that's just off the top of my head.
As aliens get more and more play in the DC universe.
Yeah, well, you know, there's a lot of them out there. Aliens are people too, you know.
All right. Look at me with the Segway Lad thing. We move over, speaking of aliens.
Hey!
There's tons of them in this book. Legion Lost.
Yes.
It actually only has one human in the whole main cast. The time displaced Legionnaires finally back to a strong 7 with the return of Chameleon Girl and Gates in the most recent issues.
Yep.
I like this book. Again, it's never top of my pile of reading.
Yeah, it's. I guess I still, and this is one of those ones where they said, you know, we want. we want to do this book called Legion Lost. And they went and got Fabian Nicieza and said, we want you to write it. And they already had it all figured out. Of course, he's Tom DeFalco is going to take it over here soon. So we'll see. But it's always like it's like forcing the idea of taking these Legionnaires out of the Legion and bringing them to the 21st century. I never really liked the idea, but hey, it's the Legion, so I'm going to read it. But it's better after that first issue was really rough because they didn't explain a lot. But I'm still liking it. It's a good book. So, but anyway, go ahead.
It was like many of these better. I think it would be better represented as a mini or a maxi series.
Yeah,
it will be interesting once they reach that year mark and they get past their initial mission, which is to, you know, they've already failed in their initial mission.
Right.
whether they can continue to exist as their own entity within the DC universe, separate from the Titans, separate from the Justice League,
mm-hmm.
Separate from Stormwatch, though they've already introduced Stormwatch briefly. We'll see. I have hopes. I like the characters. They're some of my favorite Legionnaires between Tyrock and Gates and Wildfire. I three of my favorites.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, see, that's kind of one of the reasons I had a problem with it. You know, they finally get Tyrock in there and a good one, and then they, you know, junt him over into this book. But anyway.
He gets more opportunity to be a focused character with only seven leads as opposed to the Legion main book, which is 20.
Yeah, that's a good point. Very good point.
So. Yes, I think with this book I would have liked a shorter opening arc. I don't know. Each issue has kind of stood on its own too, so it's not been like – I wouldn't say it's been decompressed like into – stretching out six issues, but it felt like those first six issues were kind of get to know you issues,
mm-hmm.
rather than kind of. I think I would have liked to have a little more get to know you and also push forward the whatever their ongoing story is going to be.
Right.
It was kind of like we've got six issues, we're at the end, and now I don't know.
Well, and this book definitely has a lot of B and C plots that can be explored. I mean, why kill off and return the two characters? I mean, there's got to be a bigger story there.
Yeah.
And these characters, the current ones, they're mutating beyond their traditional power set that we've always that we're used to as Legion fans.
Right.
I don't know if I appreciate Timberwolf being able to shoot his claws out. That's kind of gross.
But, yeah, that's a weird twist for sure. And then you know the ever growing appendages of Tellus as well, as often mentioned on the Legion podcast.
I have toes. I have hands. And now they've got him making, you know, everyone looks human when he does his little Jedi trick on people.
Yeah, that's like, I think Professor X used to do that a lot.
Well, they developed, in X-Men, they have the image inducers.
But, that's right, yeah, they used to do that, I remember.
We're seeing more character development with Tellus than I think we ever have.
Yeah. Which is good. I've always liked the idea of that character too. So that's been good.
I think it's a given though that the three of us will be sticking with the book.
Yeah, I'm gonna read that book. I mean, come on. And I always love Wildfire, and the only thing that would make that book better is maybe having Karate Kid in there. Because, you know, he's been in the past. He knows his way around. At least a past. Not necessarily this one. But anyway.
That would be if they were to create, not doppelgangers, but versions of some of the other Legionnaires in this book.
Oh, yeah. That would be cool.
Some of the ones that are not currently part of the regular Legion.
You know, it's too bad that when they – in before Flashpoint, when they had – Mon-El or Valor, no, it was Mon-El, in the past during that Krypton thing. If this book couldn't happen then, and they could, you know, have him join after he was done with the other, that would have been interesting. Uh-huh. But of course, then he'd be, you know, overpowering everybody else, and they just all sit back and watch Mon-El kick everybody's butt. Or, uh-huh. But anyway, just an idea. I'm rambling now. Moving along.
So I will segue smoothly into Legion of Superheroes, the main title, Paul Levitz on the writing with various artists doing the chores, but mostly Francis Portello.
Right.
We've seen Walter Simonson. We're going to see Steve Lytle here in a month or so.
That's correct.
On the art. But for the most part, Francis Portello, especially on the latest issue, by the way, which was number 7, which I will not won't talk about here today. But
yeah, good, because I don't think I've read it yet.
Kicking some major butt art-wise.
We won't spoil each other, but the rest of you guys are on your own. Just so you know.
I really liked the opening arc. I thought it was timing-wise, it was very good. I think Levitz is introducing the new characters in without ignoring the existing characters too much.
Yeah, and you know, I've said that before. I'm not 100% keen on the choices he made, but I still like it. But anyway, go ahead.
I want to see more of this Harmonia Lee character. She was created, and then I thought she was going to be a villain, but now she's part of the team, and I want to see a lot more of her, and I want to see more of Glorith. I mean, it almost feels like they're building these two up, but they're not.
Yeah, I mean, did they even give her a ring?
Who?
Harmonia Lee.
Yes.
I thought they did. I thought that was. I wasn't sure if that was just something I imagined or. Yeah, that's right. They did.
And I will avoid the spoilers for number 7. So.
Yes.
I think the pacing is good. I think.
Oh yeah.
The first arc was just long enough, and it was more than just fight the Dominators. That was the through line. But then you had like the other little subplots going on, and that's. That's the way to do it.
Yeah, I agree.
Build the other stories in the background.
Yeah, I think it goes to show you, and I'm sure we'll see it more when the second wave comes out, because he's got another book in there. But the difference between the old school comic book writer and the ones that are today, I think it shows his – I mean, of course, he's been doing it for so long. His level of skill, he's able to do that, you know, do the several different plots and, you know, play it long game but not, you know. I just think I'm really enjoying his writing.
And it looks like they're going to get to kill Karate Kid again in the not-too-distant future, so I'm looking forward to that. We're going to see another Legion Annual number 1, it looks like. So obviously Giffen, per his promise, will be working with Levitz on that.
That's right. He did say that, didn't he?
Yeah, he promised. He will do every Legion Annual number 1 with Levitz. So
excellent.
Yes. I said Titans is my favorite team book, and I'm going to stick with that. This is in the running, and I like, you know, Levitz again with the ABC plot. It's predictable in terms of pacing, but it's unpredictable in what is actually the C plot. I'm interested to see where he's going to go with some of these little seeds that he's been planting here and there. This book has a long life potential.
Yeah, I think so.
And hopefully it will regain some of its sales stature that it had back in the day. That would be cool to see.
Yeah.
Though against books like Justice League and Batman, that's going to be tough, but I would like to see it.
Mm-hmm.
Any more?
Okay, see, we've done Young Justice and Superman so far.
And we can continue. There's we've got The Edge, The Dark, and Batman. Those are our three remaining areas.
Okay, well, let's see. I don't do... Go ahead.
I think we could power through The Edge because most of those books are not being read by this group of people.
That is correct.
All right.
We can do that.
So let's power through that, and then we can save the rest of them for a third episode.
Yes, because if we start Batman, we're going to be here a while because I'm reading all of them.
Yes.
Well, except for one. I like to just go on and, you know, so.
Not you, man.
Yeah, go for it.
So let's start with one that I know that we're not reading. Mm-hmm. Grifter.
Yeah. Anybody out there like that, let us know.
Though I am intrigued. Frank Thierry is going to be doing writing on it. I'm a huge fan of Frank Thierry. I may visit the book.
Yeah, he's done lots of Marvel work, I think.
I've never heard of it.
What else has he done over there?
He does some Punisher, yeah. I think you mentioned Punisher. So, and he's done some X-Men stuff, and I've always enjoyed his stuff. So I grab a shelf copy and take a look when he joins, I guess, with issue 9 or something like that, or 8.
Probably.
So another book that we're not reading, Deathstroke.
No.
No. First was plenty. Yeah, and what we got here says is Kyle Higgins, written by Kyle Higgins, but I forget. Liefeld's going to be involved somewhere along the line. I'm embarrassed to say I'm not sure. I don't know the details of it.
Deathstroke, isn't that the one? That's the one that he's writing and drawing.
Isn't it?
I think so, yep.
Yes, it is. In fact, number 9 is the first one because it ends with – was that – yeah, I think so, yes. Yes, he will be doing Bunt. Lobo Hunt, part 1. Oh, somebody's going to have to buy it.
Damn them all to hell.
The first Lobo.
I'm a Lobo fanatic. I'm torn. I don't want to necessarily support Liefeld art, but it's hard for me not to pick up something with Lobo in it.
Well, I'm sad for you because I've never liked that character.
And my fear is that I will like it.
Oh,
that's the book for it, though, right? Like Liefeld does big action, does kinetic poses. Like he's all about warped perspective and stuff, and that's just fine.
Big shoulder pads, guns, and swords.
And that's Lobo.
Yeah.
Well, there you big go. Shoulder pads.
Mm-hmm. Yes, he does have those.
I will check back in on it and I'll let you know and I'll see you. I'm gonna mumble grumble.
And I'm sure we'll laugh at you for having to buy it too. So
it's fine, whatever. I've been laughed at before and I'll be laughed at again.
I'm just kidding.
Just like high school.
Sorry, man.
So let's switch tones here a little bit to something that I think we all will miss, which is OMAC.
I'm sad to see that go.
Going away as of issue 8, probably the funnest comic that DC puts out, proper DCU proper right now.
Yeah, it's close to one of them, yeah, for sure.
Just pure fun. There's no pretension to this book whatsoever.
Yeah.
And it celebrates, not to get too pompous about it, but it celebrates the Silver Age very well, I think.
Yeah, yeah. And Jack Kirby.
Yeah, and then yeah, exactly. I think he's one of the defining characters of the Silver Age, whether it's Marvel or DC or independent.
Mm-hmm.
Space 2001, Space Odyssey and stuff. So.
Right.
I've said it, you know, you already know I was a late convertee to this book, apparently too late because due to people like me who were questioning the book, it did not get sales. And despite all
protests
from DDO or Didio, whatever it has been canceled. It is gone.
And I'll have to admit, it was a lot better than I thought. And I'm sure it's due to Giffen's involvement in the writing.
Oh,
pshaw. But, I'm sorry, but publishers and or editors, if you're going to be an editor and a publisher, you should let the writers write. if you want to write comics, do like Peter Tomasi did and quit being an editor and do the writing. That's just my opinion. Tomasi?
No, I was going to say Tom DeFalco did the same thing.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, that's just putting people like me that are aspiring writers out of work. So, anyway.
But Murray, you've been on board this book all along. You've been an advocate.
I love it. And I think if it had been allowed to go like 12 issues, I think we would have seen like each issue they were reintroducing a few more Kirby concepts, and they were. I just think if we had the full year, we would have seen this huge story that's kind of bubbling around in the background.
Hey, Murray, I'm going to interrupt you for a second. Are you talking into a fan by any chance?
No. Does it sound all...
Oh, now you're fine.
There you are. You're better now. Okay, sorry.
I'll just be closer. But, I think we would have had, like, the... Even though each issue was easily done in one, I think there was a bigger story that they were telling in the background there, and I would have loved to have seen it play out for sure. Like I'm looking forward to seeing OMAC in some other books, but I don't think it'll be anywhere near the same tone that we've had without Didio and Giffen kind of guiding them. So while I'm happy to see him in other parts of the DCU, I think it won't be the same thing, but hopefully continue to give him exposure. And then, I don't know, OMAC was probably always a hard book to sell, but it looks to me like they were going for the OMAC will be the title character, but we're going to introduce as many Kirby concepts as we can. They just didn't get enough readers.
An interesting choice for them to try and sales boost a crossover with Frankenstein, which is not a high-selling book.
There you go.
I'm a little worried, like you, that the tone of this character or this book won't carry over as he appears elsewhere, sort of like when they tried to put Hitman into other books because that had its own unique tone, or when they tried to put Aztec into other books, again, a book with its own unique tone where the character didn't translate at all to other writers or to other books. So,
yeah.
I would almost like to see this book just have a big blow up. Brother I just blow up in issue 8 and we're done.
Yeah, just get rid of the character altogether.
And Karate Kid is floating, is up there. So,
yeah, exactly.
Boom! Okay, Giffen got to kill him again. And again, and again. So.
Yeah.
I'm sad to see it go, but I hope it ends with dignity.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. When I found out it was ending, I kind of stopped. And I think it's been, well, at the comic shop, I think, they haven't been cut back on the order, so I haven't still having a little issues with the owner remembering the stuff I like and I don't, you know, and sometimes it shows up in my box and sometimes it doesn't and I don't remember to buy it. So that kind of shows, you know, if I knew it was still going to be around, I would have made more effort. But once I heard it was being canceled, I kind of, which, you know, bad reader. Smacked my hand. So, but anyway,
you suck.
Yeah, I know. I'm bad.
So a book that's going through a strange transition between being canceled and rebooted in a way, Men of War.
Yeah.
It is. It's being canceled as a title, but the concept is going to live on in GI Combat is going to be its new version.
Yeah, I'm really questioning their idea to do that, and you know, and then have the main story by yet again J.T. Kroll, but we'll get to that later on. We'll have to cover the second wave in one of these episodes.
J.T. Krall. Somehow they keep hiring J.T. Krall.
Yeah, and I read that's why he left Green Arrow, was so he could do this. You know?
Well,
that's another story.
I would like to see them do World War II stories with Sergeant Rock as opposed to this new Sergeant Rock they did. Would I have bought the book either way? I don't know. but I will never know, I guess.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was really hoping that it was is going to be better, and it didn't click with me. And the backup stories weren't good enough to, you know, make me consider keep buying it. I mean, it was a $3.99 title. So at least Justice League Justice League, when they don't do text pieces or character designs, is worth the $3.99, which the text pieces aren't that bad, but just showing character sketches, save that for the website, you know, or the blog or something. But yeah, it just I was disappointed in that book. So.
Well, with the relaunch, though, it looks like they're maybe giving the book a bit of a stronger focus. Like whereas before it was a modern-day Sergeant Rock,
mm-hmm.
which is probably a hard sell, it looks like they're going with some of the wonkier war books. So they're doing
mm-hmm.
What are they doing? Like not Creature Commandos. The Haunted Tank, and they're doing...
Yeah, that's right. Aren't they Jimmy Pilotti and Justin Gray doing that?
I think so. And they're doing the...
Let me get to the solicit.
That G.I. Robot or something. So the stories are going to have a little more... I don't know, a stronger point of view or a stronger story hook than just modern-day war stories with the name of a well-loved character.
Mm-hmm. And as we know, wonky sells because OMAC. Oh, wait a minute. Oh, I'm sorry.
okay.
Yeah, he just threw you under the bus just then, didn't he? All right, here we go. Solicit GI Combat number 1, written by J.T. Krull, Justin Gray, and Jimmy Palmiotti. First chapter, War That Time Forgot. That's what it was.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So, and everybody knows that, you know, things with dinosaurs in them. So there you go. That's what you're looking for. And he is so excited to tell that story. I read, and that's what I left Green Arrow for, because, you know, anyway.
Sorry.
Yeah.
An uncalled
for. Wait, no, it's Unknown Soldier, Justin Gray, and Jimmy Pagliani. Okay. So anyway.
But hopefully this is they will do the anthology book that we have all said that other book should be, which we will get to eventually.
Yes.
But it'll be war-related stuff. So
yeah, because – okay, it's funny. I think the DC Universe Presents is actually in the Justice League family, but they don't have it listed here in this Wikipedia article as such.
We will get to it, I promise. It crossed my heart.
I believe you.
So speaking of period pieces, and I had to drop this book. It was a tough choice, but I had to drop it. All-Star Western, Jimmy Palmiotti, Justin Gray, with art by the awesome, but I can't justify buying it, Moritat.
So tell us why you can't justify buying it.
Because it's – well, I don't have an unlimited source of funds.
Right.
And I am more than two issues behind in this book, and I don't care.
Yeah,
which is I hate to say that I don't care, but I don't. I don't miss it. So I had to make conscious choices of books to drop, and this wasn't just DC books. I did this to a couple Marvel titles as well.
Mm-hmm.
I dropped it. I may pick up the trades. We'll see. But there's nothing about it that says you have to be back every month. And I know it's good. I enjoy it. I really do.
Yeah.
And it made the cut in terms of quality, but. Quantity has made this a book that I can't buy anymore.
Yeah, now I can understand that completely. That's perfectly. I mean, if you're you know, not if you got two issues behind and you're not missing it, that's kind of what happened to Static Shock with me. You know, so yeah, I can understand it. There's nothing wrong with that.
Thank you.
And I mean, I like the book, and I have to admit, I liked what the idea they came up with Jonah Hex in Gotham City, but it's so against his core character that they established before, and just in all the stories of him, for him to stay in one place that long, that I'm not sure how long they can keep it up to make it continue to be interesting, you know, even with the Night of Owls crossover coming up. With the 1860s Talon. So.
Yeah, it's a book. I'm enjoying it. And so far, I'm keeping it on my list because it's something I wouldn't normally buy. So.
Yeah, that's kind of where I'm going.
I'm enjoying the Western take. And again, it isn't something that I would normally seek out and read. So it is pricier, but. Mm-hmm. But it's a beautiful book.
It is. And so far, the backup stories have held up to quality.
Yeah, they've been good. They've been good. So, I think we're going to get some interesting backup stories coming up. I'm looking forward to seeing Nighthawk and Cinnamon, I think, they're next.
Oh, yeah. That's going to be good.
And so I'm sticking with it for now. But if it gets to that point where I'm just buying it to look at the pretty art and the stories aren't really sticking with me, then I'll
– Yeah.
Then I'll have to make the cut, I guess. But
yeah, and
I'm enjoying it.
I can see that being a title that maybe I got in trade too.
Mm-hmm.
Later on, if I decide to cut something, then I can see it doing that. So, but yeah. Mm-hmm.
All right, a book that I was a huge advocate of, and no one else was, and I became a not an advocate was Black Hawks, G.I. Yeah. Joe for the DC Universe. I made it all the way to issue 3 and then I dropped it.
Good idea, poorly executed. That's my take.
Yeah, I don't know what went wrong with the book. Because I wasn't following it, so.
It was kind of complicated. The first couple of issues were okay, but I think they had the same kind of issue that the Legion has, too many characters. And I mean, if you somebody that's not a Legion fan's perspective, the difference being is in the Legion, all those characters already had a history, but in Blackhawks they don't. That was part of it, I think, in my opinion.
Oh yeah, they introduced 12 brand new characters from whole cloth, and it's like, oh my god, you know, give us something. I finally got to the point where it's like, give me something to latch on to from the historical Blackhawks point of view. And
yeah, that's
nothing of that.
That's where they screwed up too, is it's like the Catwoman movie. They took the name Catwoman and slapped some Halle Berry crap on, you know.
That's 2 weeks in a row, man. 2 weeks in a row, okay? Knock it the hell off.
Oh, you know, I haven't even seen it and I know it sucked. Come on.
2 weeks. We gotta have a moratorium on mentioning the Catwoman movie.
Okay, all right, a moratorium on that.
No, it's a good reference point though for crap.
Well, I mean, you know,
for comic books done wrong, or comic book movies done wrong. But yeah, it was. I wish that they had maybe brought in, you know, Janice, the original Blackhawk, or Lady Blackhawk, who was incredibly popular over in the Birds of Prey book.
Yeah, they had a perfect way to tie that in, and I don't know how they'd explain. Well, hell, they could have made her. Well, how old would she have been if it had been World War II?
But they time bumped her. That was what that concept. So.
Well, I mean, they could have made it Vietnam or Korea, changed it up a little, but.
Six or half a dozen. The book. The book was a fail, unfortunately, and but it's a concept that they can keep in the background, like they did with Checkmate in the original in the last piece of Universe.
Yeah, exactly.
Or Damage Control over in the Marvel Universe. You know, they pop up. Here's Black Hawk. Okay, the concept is still copywritten. Move on.
Yeah, that's true. That is what they do that for, isn't it?
All right, so what else we got here? Voodoo. Voodoo. That was a bad segue, but voodoo. Anybody?
No.
I am reading it.
Still?
I am. I got it.
Oh, sorry.
I liked what Ron Mars was doing on the book.
Oh.
And I liked the artwork. It was beautiful. Since Ron Mars has left, the book has taken a turn, and I'm not sure that I love the new direction.
What was his last issue?
Number 4.
Oh, really? That early on? Okay.
Yeah, they jerked it early. Mm-hmm. Well, just looking here at the solicit for number 9, if you didn't really like that direction, apparently the first item in the solicit is a new direction for Voodoo starts now.
Is it a bold new direction?
No, it is not a bold new direction. It's just
plain
a
old
new,
regular new direction.
Yeah, a regular new direction. So if you can stick in till number 9, you might get a new direction you like.
At this point, I don't know. Like I like the idea of, she wasn't really a hero, but I like the idea of her being on the run. I liked the idea of that other FBI agent, what's her name, Fallon, following her. I kind of like that fugitive aspect of it, and the fact that she was here for another purpose, but wasn't really sure what that other purpose was, I liked what was going on with it, and I'm not as big a fan of the new direction. I found it. I don't know. I'm not clicking with the writer. He's not really doing it for me. So. Mm-hmm.
Two questions. A, who's the new writer? And B, what is the new direction?
The new writer, I cannot remember his name.
Is it Josh Williamson?
Maybe. Yeah, I think so.
At least that's the writer on number 9 anyway.
Yeah, no, that's the new guy.
Okay.
yeah, I found the story just became jumpy and it, I don't know, harder for me to follow.
Same artist.
I think the new direction is that they're pushing her from being a little bit unknown or unsure about what her role was to now they've introduced the idea of clones and they're pushing the space alien angle a little more heavily and it looks to me like it's going to become more of a spacey book, a bigger alien presence, more of a, I don't know. It's, I'll look at it for another issue or two and then I will decide from there, but it's one that isn't doing it for me the way it was.
Mm-hmm. Well, the Daemonites are getting played up in the DC universe. So this could be an opportunity for this book to become a focal point for that storyline for the bigger arc, but we'll see. This and Grifter.
Oh, why don't they just put out a Wildcats book and just get it over with? I mean, come on. Seriously.
Okay. I don't know. Because they have...
Silence.
Segue. Stormwatch.
Oh, okay.
There you go.
Yeah.
Which is all Wildstorm characters, bar one, which is the Martian Manhunter. Mm-hmm. A book that... Despite Paul Cornell leaving, I will stick with. As I've said before, and I will say many times, Paul Cornell is gone, unfortunately, as of issue 6. But
yes.
Still, I like what the book where the book sits, where the concept sits within the DC universe, above, but separate. Kind of the secret police of the DC universe,
right,
and not in the Monty Python way. Mm. I love it. I like the characters. I know that some people have said that if they just made it Knight or what are those two guys? I'm blanking.
Apollo and
Nighter.
Yeah.
There you go. They would be fine with that. But I think the rest of these characters are great as well. Jack Hawksmoore, always a favorite of mine. Martian Manhunter. Always a favorite of mine. Engineer, always liked her as a character.
I really need to read that old stuff. Was it Planetary that these characters came up?
No, it was, Authority and Stormwatch.
Yeah, I need to read those because I'm actually intrigued by these characters, and that's one of the reasons why I stay. The story is a little out there to follow sometimes, but I love the fact that you don't have a freaking clue what the hell's going to happen next. That's my favorite thing about the book.
Yep. And Jenny Quantum's in there, for goodness sake. I mean, great character. I want to see them become even less likable. That was one of the cool things about the original series is the characters were just, for the most part, they were kind of prickish.
Yeah, see, that would usually be a reason that I wouldn't read a book, is because of that. If I can't like at least one of the characters, which for me it would be Martian Manhunter, if some reason about I wouldn't read it. But it's like almost just the opposite with this one. I really don't really care about any of the characters, but I still want to see read
it. That was the thing about the original series is while they were all prickish, actually the really likable character was Jack Hawksmoor. He was always like the nice guy of the group, as well as Apollo. He was always the nice guy of the group. The rest of them, you know, they kind of kept under lock and key, sort of like the seven in the Boys. Sorry, I made a segue over to the Boys, but
how dare you?
I know, not as bad as a Catwoman reference, but certainly.
Well, yeah.
Okay. I like this book, and it month to month, it jumps to being my favorite team book between that and Titans. It's like I can read an issue of this and goes, oh, it's my favorite, or I'll read Titans and go, no, this is my favorite team book, and. I'm in for the long haul. I know that Peter Milligan will do good things with them as well.
Yeah.
Murray, sorry.
I haven't. There wasn't anything in first issue to grab me, and I haven't really followed it. So if they pop up somewhere, I'll happily read about them, but I don't think I'm going to dive in and grab their book.
All right, whatever. I'm not reading Voodoo, so.
I think we'll see them. Like, they're going to – I think they'll play a role in some of this – what's her name? The pink chick with the – I don't want to call her Portia, but that's not her name. Pandora.
Okay.
You know, the long pink coat. I think they'll play a bit of a role with that. So, I'll look in on them and I'll see what they're doing, but I don't really have a history with them, and there's, I don't know, there's nothing that really grabbed me. You know what, if I sat down and read all six issues, I probably would enjoy them.
Yeah.
So I just got to seek them out.
I will not put a guarantee that you'll enjoy them, but I have a feeling that you would. It's wonky.
See, that's a good selling point.
It is wonky, that's for sure. Yeah, I think you would look up wonky comic in the dictionary to be a picture of the first issue of this, I think.
There you go. Yeah. They fought the freaking moon. Come on.
Yeah, I have to admit, that's the kind of stuff that would keep me reading it. So hopefully it continues when Milligan takes over. So.
And to wrap up The Edge, Suicide Squad. Adam Glass writing. I like this book. It's hey, Chris, I can't imagine what would be any at all appealing about this book to you, though.
Well, you see, I never was really a big Suicide Squad fan, but I have picked up with the Secret Six book that Gail Simone did. Oh, I missed that book.
Yes.
Moment of silence.
Uh-huh.
Anyway, continuing on. I've picked up a couple of the trades that came out that reprinted the stuff, you know, and after, you know, you wade through the 80s, the way things were written back in the 80s and 90s, it's a good concept. And I don't know. I still have that thing about a villain being the main character, but – I'm curious about it because it is getting some good reviews. They've kept the writer, at least, looking at the solicit all the way up to number 9. So something must be going on good in that book. It's one of the few that hasn't been messed with.
Not at all. I mean, in fact, it's being allowed. They were allowed to tell Harley Quinn's origin in this book.
See, yeah,
out of the Bat universe, and gave it to this guy to tell.
So yeah, I mean that means something. And I really got where I liked Deadshot in Secret Six, but it's probably not the same thing. But
he's actually, other than constantly smoking, he's almost exactly how Gail Simone wrote him. So
now see that would make me think to get it in trade or look up back issues. I think they got some new 52 back. They got a new 52 back issue box for somewhat reasonable price at the comic shop I go to. So that might be something I look at later. Or Comixology maybe.
Yeah. Like is it similar to Secret Six Villains United in that sort of tone or?
No, it is more like the Ostrander book. Okay. With
that would be interesting.
Them being forced into doing government work to get out of jail time.
Right.
But it has characters that Gail Simone had in her Secret Six with Deadshot and King Shark in there. King Shark was a fairly recent addition to the Secret Six, but Deadshot was one of the lead characters from that.
I'm a shark.
Yep, and in this one he's sharky. Yeah. He's very sharky. But then, you know, Adam Glass was allowed to bring in other characters to give it a little bit of potential sales potential, again with Harley Quinn, who, you know, it's more along the lines of the Arkham Asylum video game Harley Quinn.
Right.
And who else have they got in? They had Wild Dog in there briefly. They had a couple characters that were recently in, I think, Nightwing or something like that. But it's been fun. I like the idea of them being drawn in and being forced into service for the government. Amanda Waller, though, it's the skinny Amanda Waller, which is taking a little getting used to. Who plays Amanda Waller in Green Lantern? It was
Angela Bassett.
Angela Bassett. Yeah, it's the Angela Bassett Amanda Waller, and I'm okay with that.
Yeah, that fallout from that seemed to die pretty quick. So
yeah, I mean, okay, so she's not a fat chick anymore. That's fine. You know what? it was not her defining characteristic, I don't think.
Yeah.
I think you're just being a hard ass. Yeah. I think they're going to try and make her into like the ultimate version of Nick Fury for this new DC universe.
So she'll have an eye patch on the other eye then.
Exactly. Okay. Exactly.
Awesome. Awesome.
Yeah. So, in any case,
I think eye patches are cool.
Well, then you should go rent Valkyrie with Tom Cruise.
You know, I just might. That's funny. My friend Mike, he's a big World War II history buff. I mean, huge. You know, reads books that people were there and knows all the battle details. But he hates Tom Cruise, so he refuses to watch that movie.
Probably with good reason.
So anyway, I try to separate his dumbassness from his acting, but you know, sometimes it's impossible. Anyway,
so
moving along.
I guess that's it. We are done.
All right. So we got the Edge. Yeah. Okay. Good.
We've done the Edge, Young Justice, Green Lantern, Superman, and the Justice League books. We still have Batman, as I mentioned before, and the Dark and DC Universe Presents, which according to Wikipedia is its own little corner, but
yeah,
we can deal with
that. Semi anthology. I've coined a new phrase.
There you go.
Yes.
Copyrighted. Yes, exactly. Tales of Longbox.
Yeah, we're talking about sharks, which brings me to a conversation that we were talking to last night at dinner, which you know, I was giving a copy of my recently acquired stash of the comic I got a story in, and one of the our friends was talking about an idea he came up with, but I won't discuss it here because I don't want anybody stealing it, because I think it might work. So I'll have to discuss that later. But yeah, so wrap that up. Anything else anybody's got before I start giving the spiel about the email?
No, I think I'm good.
I'm good.
All right. Looking forward to the next batch. A lot of Batman. I have to make sure I get some good sleep because, you know, it's going to be a Chris-filled episode, I'm sure, when that comes up. You guys could probably just go, you know, get lunch and come back, and I'll still be talking. But anyway, so, yeah, that wraps it up for this time. Any of those titles we didn't talk about or we think that they suck and you disagree with us, please let us know, and we'll try to give it some time. And if you want to shoot us an email and tell us what dumbasses we are, please email us at podcast@tellsfromthelongbox.com.
I have geniuses we are. You can
or
tell
yeah, you can do that too, which, you know, I already know that part, but, you know.
Okay.
Anyway, that's just my, you know, my ego talking. My wife gets on to me a lot about that. But anyway, yeah, podcast@tellsfromthelongbox.com. I have it set up where it'll be forwarded to the three of us, so we're all getting in the conversation. Our Facebook page, lots of talk going on right now. There's talk going on right now, as a matter of fact. Right this very second, somebody's writing something in the comment, I'm sure, right now.
And new forums.
Yes,
forums.
Oh, that, yes, the new forums. There's the comic forums rebooted recently. And I threw a thread in there, and I'm going to try to post episodes. Not exactly sure how that's going to work. Because there's no really separate forums on there. It's just categories, and it's kind of – it's vanilla forums is the forum. But I can post things in there, and people are looking at them. So, you know, hey, come on by there, thecomicforums.com. Do a little searchy for Tales from the Long Box podcast. Might be some interesting conversations going on there. A lot of older comic fans on there, I should say. Seasoned comic fans. There, that's better. Seasoned comic fans on there. You know, always willing to discuss things on there about comics. So come on by and give that a shot. What else? Anything else? Am I missing something?
Nothing.
Okay.
Got it.
Speaking of the comic, I just had Polish Tales from the Comics Experience Genesis working on trying to figure out how to get that in digital formats, maybe get some more readers to it, and, you know, maybe get that big job at DC writing Destro. Yeah, that's it.
There
you go. You go, boy.
but anyway, that's about it for us. I've rambled on enough. I'm kind of silly this morning. Anyway, actually, it's afternoon now. Anyway, that's about it. And we will talk to you next week.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye.
And we're out.